السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to do ayat 35 and 36 of Surah An-Nisa today. We'll go over the word meanings first, inshallah, starting with ayah number 35 of Surah Nisa. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and in if khiftum. This comes from the word khawf, which means fear, and tum means you. So khiftum, you all feared, shikwaka, separation or dissension. Bainihima, bain means between, and hima or huma means two people, both of them. Okay, so bainihima, between them two or both of them. Feba'athu fa, then ba'atha means to raise or appoint or send. Okay, so feba'athu, then you all send. And this is a command, and it's plural because it ends in waw alif. Hakaman, an arbitrator. Min, from. Ahlihi. Ahl means family, and he means his. It refers to the man. Wa and hakaman, an arbitrator. Min, from. Ahliha. Ahl again means family, and ha is the pronoun for a female. So ahliha, her family. In if yurida, they both want. The alif at the end tells us that this is dual, so it refers to two people. So in yurida, if they both want or they both wish. Islahan, reformation. Yuwafiqi, he will reconcile. You in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person and it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yuwafiqi, he will reconcile. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bainahuma, baina, between huma, both of them. Inna, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, is or was. Aliman, one always all-knowing. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. And it comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge. So aliman, one always all-knowing. And another attribute of Allah, khabiran, one always all-aware. This comes from the word khabar, which means news. So khabiran means one who is always all-aware. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. Wa means and وَعْبُدُ comes from the word عِبَادَ, which means to worship. And this is a command and it's plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people here. And we know this because it ends in waw alif. So وَعْبُدُ, and you all worship, serve or obey. It can mean any of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa and la, do not, tushriku, you all do shirk. Ta in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end tells us that this word is plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering a bunch of people to not do something. So wa la tushriku, and do not do shirk. Shirk is the root word here, and that means to associate partners with Allah. So, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا, and do not associate partners, بِهِ, be with he, him. And this he refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَيْئًا, anything. Wa and bil walidaini. B means with and al means the walidaini. The parents. Ihsanan. Do utmost good. This comes from the word husn, which means beautiful. So ihsanan, do utmost good. Wa bidhil qurba, wa and be with the means possessor of or one with. Al means the and qurba, close relation. Okay, the close or near relations. So wa bidhil qurba, that means and the relatives. Wal yatama, wa and al means the and yatama, orphans. Wa and al masakini, al means the and masakin, needy or those who are poor. Wa and al jari, the neighbor. Dhil qurba, the possessor of or the one with. Al qurba, the close relation. So dhil qurba actually means the relative. So wal jari dhil qurba means and the neighbor who is a relative. Wal jari, wa and al jari, the neighbor. Al junubi, the stranger. Wa sahibi, and the companion. Bil jambi, b means by or with. Al means the and jambi means side. So wa sahibi bil jambi means the companion who is by the side. Wabn as-sabil, wa and ibn means son of, and as-sabil means the way. And when we put together ibn as-sabil, it means the traveler. Wa and ma whom malakat, possessed. Aymanukum, ayman, right hands, kum, yours. Inna, indeed, Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la, does not, yuhibbu, he loves, man, who, kana, is, muhtalan, one, boastful. This word actually comes from the word khayl, which means horse. And the way the horses walk is usually in a proud sort of a way. So muhtalan is a word used to describe somebody who boasts. Fakhura, one proud. So alhamdulillah, we're done with the word meanings for the week. And now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa in khiftum shiqaqa baynihima. And if you fear a breach of marriage between a man and his wife, if you feel that there is no other way out besides separation. Due to the woman's ill conduct that we learned about last time, her nushuz, meaning her rebellion, and that we learned can mean that she is involved in some open indecency, or the things that we went over last time in detail, any of those things. And if there is a fear of the woman continuing to rebel in that way, and the man being stubborn, and him being too angry to let things go. So if they're afraid that there's no other way out besides divorce, then what should be done? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say for them to just go and get divorced even then, okay? He says that they should try to patch things up even at that point. However, the man and woman are not able to resolve the problem on their own. So what should they do at that point? What are they supposed to do? فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Then appoint an arbitrator from his side and another one from her side. This is when others find out about what had been going on, the problems the couple had been facing. Before this, they should not have even mentioned it to others. That is what Islam teaches. And when choosing the hakam, or the arbitrator, they should make sure to choose people who are pious and people who are wise, who actually want to patch things up. Okay, they want the husband and wife to stay together. It shouldn't be someone who tells them that they're right in wanting a divorce from the other person, because their spouse deserves it. Okay, because there are people who say such things. Also, the arbitrator should not be the woman's parents, or the man's parents, or their close friends who support them in all their decisions, because those people would probably end up taking their child's side without being fair, or their best friend's side without being fair. So they are usually biased. So the hakam who is selected must be somebody who is wise. One wise person from her family and one wise person from his family should get together with the couple, sit down, and talk to them. And they should listen to what the couple has to say about the situation. And then they should come up with a solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِسْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they both wish to reconcile, Allah will create a way of reconciliation between them, between both of them. So if the couple, meaning the husband and wife, or the two hakams, the arbitrators, really want to patch things up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for them to reconcile, one way or another. The couple can compromise about certain things, and maybe they can set up conditions for the other person that they have to fulfill. But at least they can come up with a way to stay together. When the arbitrators talk to the couple and they all work together to resolve the problem, the arbitrators will watch afterwards too. And they will make sure the couple fulfills the terms that each person set. They will make sure that the husband and wife follow what they agreed to do. Again, the hakam that are chosen must be people who are fair, people who would not take sides with one person. They should want the best for everyone. And remember, they're not lawyers where they would feel the need to win. Okay, they shouldn't feel like they can't let their client down, because there is no winning or losing when it comes to this. They don't have to make their client win the case, because it's not about winning. It's about working together to make the couple compromise. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowledgeable, the all-aware. He has given these orders according to His knowledge, and He knows everything. He knows everyone's intentions, whether the arbitrators want the couple to work things out or they really don't care to and they want them to just split up. So the hakam have to be careful, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and He is all-aware. The next ayah tells us things that we all need to work on. There are points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists in this ayah, and we should figure out where we need to do our own islah, meaning our reformation, where we need to improve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has basically given us instructions on how to live our lives here in this ayah. And He clarifies what we should aim to do. Implementing this one ayah should be our goal in life. The first thing on the list that we need to work on, the first relationship that we need to improve, is our connection with Allah. So, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And worship or serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not commit shirk. Do not associate any partner with him. Ibadah means to become Allah's slave, to obey him. And ibadah comes from khushu, meaning humility. Okay, humility before Allah. And it comes from tadlul, which is to lower oneself before Allah. And this is done out of respect for him, out of love for him, without objecting to his orders. When people do ibadah, they basically submit to Allah as his slaves. Okay? They don't complain about his rules or say that they don't understand why they have to do something that he ordered us to do. Ibadah actually means to humble ourselves, to lower ourselves before Allah, submitting to him and becoming his slaves. Many Muslims misunderstand these points and they think ibadah just means to read the shahada or pray, but that's not enough. Wa'budullah, worship Allah. Every day when we praise Allah, we say iyyaka na'budu, only you be worship. And we say this many times every day, but we should really do it too. There are people who worship Allah, but they also worship others. But we can only worship Allah and serve him, only him. Okay, we say iyyaka na'budu, only you we worship, right? So we have to do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we cannot do shirk. That's one sin he will not forgive people for. We'll learn about this in Surah An'am as well, inshallah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the names of great prophets like Nuh alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, prophets who have such great ranks. And then he says, even if they did shirk, all their good deeds would have gone to waste. So we have to remember that Allah is the one who created us. So only he has the right to be worshipped. And all the other orders coming up next in the ayah should be obeyed because we worship only Allah. So we should analyze ourselves to see if we obey Allah and if we are humble before him, as we should be. And we should figure out what we need to work on doing when it comes to his obedience, so we can start doing the things that we don't already do. There's a big difference between a slave of Allah and a free person, because somebody who's free does not care to obey his laws. They have not submitted to him. We should obey him in all matters, not just with some. We can't pick and choose. Being slaves of Allah means that we have to obey his rules in all aspects of our lives. And with our whole body, with every body part, whether it's our hands, our feet, our eyes, or our mouths, everything. We can't just say whatever we feel like saying. We have to be careful with what comes out of our mouths. And with our eyes, we should only look at things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to look at. We have to use all these body parts according to his orders, because he is our owner. He is the one who gave us all of them. He has given us the ability to do what we want right now, to use our bodies any way we want, because he is testing us. So we have to make sure that we use these body parts the way he guided us to. We have to be submissive to him. That is what ibadah or worship actually is, to obey him out of love and humility. We can't be stubborn and continue doing whatever we want to do. Of course, there will be times when we slip, when we mess up. Whether it's seeing something or saying something that's not allowed. But we can't be stubborn about it or argue that there's nothing wrong with doing whatever we did wrong. That's even worse when we argue that it's okay to do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. We should never try to justify ourselves when we go against His rules. We should always remember that Allah is the one who created us. He is the one who sustains us every single day, each second of our lives. He is the one who allows us to walk, to eat, to drink, and even breathe. He's the one who keeps us alive. So shouldn't He be the one we obey? Let's try to forget about what we feel like or want to do. Okay, because it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Since we are His slaves, we have to disregard our preferences. What He wants is what really matters. It's all that matters. When we say that we submit to Him, we have to prove it. Worship and obey only Him. We cannot worship our own nafs by following our desires, because that's also a form of shirk. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and do utmost good with your parents. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, parents are next on the list. They have the right to be treated kindly, for their children to be really good to them. That is a must for children. The word ihsan comes from husn, which means beauty. And that's the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here for how we should treat parents. He doesn't say to do adl when dealing with parents, which is to be fair. Adl means to do justice, to treat others the way they treat you. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to deal with parents with a level of ihsan, meaning to do utmost good in a beautiful way, in an excellent way. Ihsan means to give more than the other person deserves. So dealing with parents to the level of ihsan is a must. It's not just an option. After parents, we have to be utmost good with all the others coming up on the list, because we are told to do ihsan with them too. So we have to deal with them nicely too and give them more than they deserve. Treat them better than they deserve to be treated. And that means to treat them well even if they're not good to you. We have to be good to them regardless of how they are with us. And of course, that goes for parents too. That we have to be good to our parents to a level of excellence, even if they're not good to us, even if they don't treat us well, it doesn't matter. It may be easy to do ihsan with parents, but sometimes it's hard to do ihsan with the others listed here that we're going to learn about. There are different levels of ihsan too. Okay, that's one thing we need to keep in mind. And parents are at the very top of the list. Okay, after working on our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshiping only Him, the first on the list are parents. Okay, we have to treat them the best. They're at the very top of the list when it comes to treating them with ihsan. But the others listed here also have to be dealt with ihsan. Ihsan with parents is to obey them and please them. Parents should not have to worry about their kids getting upset with them. And they shouldn't be afraid of how their kids would react if they said or did something. That is not ihsan. Ihsan means to be really nice to them. Serve them, spend time with them, and spend money on them. We have to deal with them to the level of excellence. Many children complain about their parents, and parents do make mistakes sometimes with the upbringing of their children and other things too. They're not perfect because they're humans just like us. We cannot expect them to be like the prophets or the angels, who don't make mistakes. Even if they make mistakes, we still have to do ihsan with parents. And ihsan includes making them happy, pleasing them somehow. And that can be in different ways for different people. Some parents want their kids to spend time with them, and that's all they ask for. They just want to spend time with their children. Others want their kids to send them money or to buy things for them. And other parents want their kids to behave and just treat them with respect and care and to love them. They want their kids to show them affection and show them that they care. The children have to figure out what makes their parents happy, and they should do what pleases them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to avoid doing certain things around parents. Okay, there are some things that we should not do when we are around our parents. And one of them is to not walk ahead of them. Okay, to not walk in front of them. And another thing is to not sit before they do. Do not call them by their name, and do not curse at them. People were shocked when they heard this part, so they asked how anyone would curse at their own parents. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't curse at other people's parents, because that would make the other person curse back at your parents. However, there are children who literally curse at their own parents nowadays. Astaghfirullah. We have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to honor our parents, not just be fair in dealing with them. We have to do ihsan with them. Abu Huraira reported that a person asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, who among the people is most deserving of my good treatment? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, your mother. Again, your mother. And again, your mother. Then your father. Then your nearest relatives, according to the order of how closely related. He didn't say to treat Muslims or the pious people or your friends in the best way. He said to treat your mother in the best possible way, three times. And then he said your father. And he said about the father is the middle of the gates of paradise. If you wish, you can squander this gate or keep it. That means people can either waste that door to Jannah or protect it. People wonder what to do if their parents have passed away. We want to be able to serve them, but we don't know how. So we were told to seek forgiveness for them. Someone asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to be good to parents after their death. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to pray their salatul janazah, make dua for their maghfirah, fulfill the promises they made, respect their friends and those people that they enjoyed being around, keep family ties with those they kept family ties with, meaning their relatives. These are the rights parents have, even after they have passed away. Parents are most deserving of our good treatment because they are the ones who brought us into this world. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave us life, but He brought us into this world through them. So we really have to honor them. And scholars also say that grandparents, maternal and paternal grandparents, should be honored like parents. And our teachers fall into this category of people who have to be treated with utmost kindness too, because they're like our parents too. So our grandparents and our teachers. Many people believe that they don't need to respect their teachers because they pay them to learn something from them. A lot of people disrespect their children's teachers or talk badly about them right in front of their kids, but that is not right. Honoring teachers is something that we should teach our kids to do because it's actually a way of us showing gratitude to the knowledge they share. And that knowledge ultimately comes from Allah. So we have to be grateful for it. again, the first on the list who deserve to be treated the best out of people are our parents, whether they are alive or dead. We have to do whatever we can to serve them in the best way. And if our parents are dead, obviously we have to do good things, do good deeds, because we are continuous charity for our parents. Next on the list, وَبِذِلْ قُرْبَى, and your relatives. We are ordered to treat them kindly many times in the Quran. If we look at the list Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives here of people who should be treated kindly, it's people who we deal with a lot, or people that we see a lot of. And that's why there's a greater chance of having problems with them. So we are told to be utmost good with relatives as well. We shouldn't just see them if they come to see us, or invite them over only if they invite us, or call them only if they call us. We have to do our part regardless of how the other person is with us. Even if there's a lack of effort on their part, just do what you have to. We shouldn't say hurtful things to relatives or taunt them when we deal with them. Treat them with kindness. Keeping ties with the family is difficult for most people because they usually take for granted whatever you do for them because they're related to you. They expect it. They don't say that they appreciate it. They don't show their appreciation. And many times they don't treat you kindly even when you are nice to them. And a lot of times people are hurt by their relatives because they're just usually very close to them, and they deal with them in a very informal sort of a way. So relatives end up saying things to hurt the other person sometimes because they speak to them carelessly. And people think that they have the right to say whatever they want to because they're related to you sometimes. They say things to relatives, even intentionally, that they would never say to anyone else. They act like they have a license to disrespect someone just because they're related to that person, just because they're close to them. And a lot of people have a habit of mocking their relatives, and that's not what we are taught to do. It's wrong in Islam to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to keep family ties, to do ihsan with relatives and treat them really well. Don't just interact with relatives who make an effort to stay in touch with us. We have to try and stay connected to the ones who try to cut off from us as well, because Allah has ordered us to do so. So treat them well, regardless of how they are with us. And how can we do that? We have to be informed of how they are. We have to be aware of their condition. Stay in touch with them. Deal with them nicely. And we should want the best for them. And we shouldn't speak badly about them to others, or treat them badly, or taunt them when we speak to them. Because a lot of times when a relative calls after a long time, the other says, "Oh, you finally remembered me." But that's wrong. Instead of appreciating that the other person's making the effort to call, they are basically complaining. So we should avoid doing things like that. Now, there are people who say that they don't speak badly about their relatives or taunt them, but they don't do good with them either. They just don't deal with them. But that's not right, since we are told that we have to do ihsan with them. We have to be good to them. People say that there's nothing wrong with them not calling relatives or staying in touch, but that is not ihsan, because we're not fulfilling Allah's orders if we don't stay in touch with relatives. We have to be aware of how our relatives are, and if they need anything, we should try to fulfill their needs. Now, let's go over the list of people who are considered our relatives. There are people who are related to us, either from our father's side or from our mother's side. So people who are related to us from our father's side and our mother's side, both are our relatives. They have the right to be treated kindly, with respect. So if we deal with them really well, we're not doing them a favor, okay? We are actually just fulfilling our responsibilities. So we have to do our part, whether the other person is good to us or not. Even if they don't treat us well, or they say rude things to us, we have to be kind to them. Of course, we have to be patient in order to do ihsan when they don't treat us well. A lot of times people lose touch with relatives back home when they move to a new place. They don't care about them and they get caught up where they live since they're just so busy with their lives. But we have to take out the time to call them and find out how they're doing, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do so. Not for any other reason, not because we need something from them, or that we may need something from them in the future. So we have to do what we can just for the sake of Allah. When we try to implement this ayah in our lives, we can judge ourselves to see if the Quran has actually changed our lives. Another important thing, people hurt their children so often because they say hurtful things to them. They're not careful about what they're saying to their kids. But that is not allowed in Islam. Our children are closest to us out of all our close relatives. So we have to do ihsan in dealing with them too. Many times people think that their child is basically theirs, so they can say whatever they want to when speaking to them. But we have to treat them well and make sure that we don't hurt their feelings. People think it's no big deal if they say whatever they want to their kid, but they are closest to us. So why should they have to tolerate our bad behavior? They should be treated kindly. Why do people think that they can hurt those who are closest to them, as if they have to be punished for being so closely related to us? Should they be punished for being our blood relatives? That's what we basically do when we say really negative things to our children or our other family members. Often people treat their kids really badly and they expect them to tolerate it all, everything, without even feeling bad about it. They actually say, "So what if I said something to him or to her? What's the big deal?" It is actually a big deal because it causes problems between family members. When people say hurtful things, it harms the relationship between parents and children. And it harms the relationship between siblings when one of them says hurtful things to the others. Or between cousins, whoever. So we should always be careful before saying anything. We have to think. Don't be so informal in dealing with people that they end up being hurt by our words. And they're never able to forget them. وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ And the orphans and the needy. We already learned how important it is to treat the orphans very kindly. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, "I and the person who looks after an orphan and provides for him will be in paradise like this." And he put his index and middle fingers together. Subhanallah. That means the person who cares for an orphan will be in Jannah, close to him, close to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we must be caring towards orphans, whether they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. We have to care for them. Just imagine your kids in their place. As we learned already in the ayah starting with وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ Be afraid that my kids could have been in their place. And that makes us want to be really good to them. And as for the masakin, it means the person who struggles to make ends meet, the person who isn't so well-to-do. It's difficult for that person to pay for everything. When he fulfills one responsibility, he's not able to pay for something else that he is responsible for. That person is considered miskeen. Many people don't think they're needy when they see somebody who is miskeen, because that person has a house that they live in. But he doesn't have enough money to buy medicines. Or even if that person has a job, he has to cut back on groceries or some of the most basic expenses just to be able to pay for their kids' education. So they're not comfortable at all. They're not at ease. They struggle to pay just for the basic things. They are masakin. Sometimes people give the masakin money and they help them out financially, but they don't treat them with respect. They remind them through their treatment that they're not equal to them somehow. When dealing with anyone, whether it's masakin, the orphans, the parents, relatives, or the neighbors that we're going to learn about next, inshallah, when dealing with all of these people, when treating them with kindness, it doesn't just mean to help them when they need something. It means to do it in a beautiful way, to the level of ihsan, by doing it even before that person has to ask you for something. It means to do something for that person even before he asks you to, because you're aware of their condition, because you're in touch with them. You can't be lost in your own world, okay? Because when we're lost in our own world, we don't even know what's happening with other people. We have to stay informed. It's not easy asking someone for something. It's very difficult when anyone has to ask someone else for a favor. It hurts that person's ego when they have to go and ask you for something. So we shouldn't put that person in that position to begin with, where they have to ask. It's best to be ready to help them by staying aware of their situation and to do it even before that person has to ask. Secondly, if you think that you're really pious, okay, there's a lot of people who think they are really pious because they pray the hajjah and they worship Allah really well. But there are people around them who are needy. It means that they are not really pious. If they don't care for people around them, when those people are stressed out, or they don't look after the needy people around them, it means that they're not really righteous. There are so many people out there who fast very often and they consider themselves religious, but they have to remember about the rights of other people. Besides our own ibadah, our worship, we have to be sensitive enough towards people to be able to tell when someone needs something. Masakin are people who don't ask a lot of times, but we should be able to figure out that it's hard for that person to pay for his needs. Okay, so we should be able to judge, and we should do it before that person has to ask. A lot of times people have an idea of relatives who are not so well-to-do, but they assume that they're fine. Okay, but we cannot just assume things. We should find out properly and help them if needed. That is ihsan. Okay, that is doing utmost good with relatives and with masakin. And we should find out if there are any orphans within our relatives, because they have to be treated kindly. We have to help them without making them lose their self-respect. Treat them just like you treat your friends that you love, or relatives who don't depend on you for anything, so they don't feel bad. Another thing that we have to keep in mind when we help anyone. Don't expect anything from them in return. Many times when people help someone financially, they expect them to do things for them or treat them a certain way with respect. They don't expect them to do anything for them financially because they know that they wouldn't be able to do anything for them in that way, but they expect other things, other services. And they complain that they're never around when they need them, even though they did so much for them. Astaghfirullah, that is a really bad thing to say, because it shows that the person who helped them expected them to come and help them with their chores, with their work, whatever it is that they needed. They expect them to go to places and do things for them, to run errands for them, whatever help they need, whether it's with moving or whatever it is. It should not be expected. So whenever we do anything good for anyone, we should just forget about it. Forget that we even did it. Don't expect anything in return, no matter who it is that you're helping. It can be a servant of yours, or a relative, or any needy person. Just forget that you even helped them. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ And the near neighbor who is a relative, and the far neighbor. The non-Muslim neighbor deserves to be treated with utmost kindness too, because he is your neighbor and he or she has the right to be treated kindly, even if he or she is a disbeliever. The neighbor who is also a relative has double the right to be treated kindly, because he is your neighbor and your relative. And as for the neighbor who is a believer and a relative, that person has triple the right to be treated with kindness. Three times the right to be treated kindly, because he or she is a Muslim and they are neighbors and they are relatives. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam preached to me so much about being kind to neighbors that I actually thought the neighbors would become heirs to people's inheritance too. So we have to do ihsan with neighbors too, do utmost good. So we should never think about causing them harm in any way. A lot of people say that they don't harm their neighbors, but they don't treat them really kindly either. On the Day of Judgment, the first dispute to be settled will be between two neighbors. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions each kind of neighbor separately. The near or closely related one, and the far or the stranger. He tells us that we must treat them both with utmost kindness, even if the neighbor is a stranger. If it's somebody we didn't even know before they moved, we are responsible for treating them with ihsan, or to do utmost good with them. Of course, that means that we can't even think about hurting them. And what are some examples of things people do to hurt their neighbors, to cause discomfort for them? They park their car in front of their neighbor's home, or they block their driveway. Sometimes people listen to music really loudly, or they honk their horn really loudly in some countries, so it disturbs the neighbors. Some people even throw their trash in front of their neighbor's house. At times, people argue with their neighbors over the smallest things. And another really bad habit some people have is to watch what goes on in the neighbor's homes, or watch when or who visits them, or when they go places, or they just like to watch them to see whatever it is that they may be doing, and then they ask questions about it. That's all included in causing discomfort for the neighbors. And to visit them at times that are not suitable for them, when you know they're busy, that makes neighbors uncomfortable too. So we should avoid doing these things. And as a neighbor, you learn a lot of things about your neighbors that other people don't know. But they are trusts that we have to keep. Okay, we have to keep their secrets. We can't talk about them or spread news about their lives to others. That is not treating them kindly. If we do any of these things, we have to stop, even if we don't do it intentionally. That is hurting neighbors because we are invading their privacy. We are supposed to protect them and treat them with benevolence, even if they're non-Muslim. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have two neighbors. If I want to send a gift to one of the two, which one should I send it to? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, the one whose door is closer to yours. So that means the closer someone is to us, the more they deserve to be treated with kindness. So we cannot forget that we have to do ihsan with neighbors. Okay, they are on the list of people we have to treat very kindly. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best companion is the one who is friendly with his companions. And the best neighbor of all, according to Allah, is the one who treats his neighbors very well. According to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sin for a person to eat till his stomach is filled when his neighbor goes hungry. Next, وَصَّاهِبِ الْجَنْبِ, and the companion by the side, meaning the one who sits next to you, the one who keeps company with you. The first relationship scholars describe that fits this category is the spouse, because a husband and wife sit next to each other, since they accompany each other on the journey of life. And we're told to do ihsan with the spouse too, meaning to treat them with utmost kindness, regardless of how they treat you. So fulfill the rights of the spouse and do even more than they deserve. Besides the husband or wife, this category of being sahibi biljam includes neighbors that we already covered, or some other people like our co-workers or our classmates or our group members, or people that we travel with, because they are all our companions. And it doesn't matter what religion they belong to. Nowhere does it say that they have to be Muslim for us to treat them kindly. They have the right to be treated with utmost kindness. Some scholars say that friends fall into this category also, because they are our companions too. It's sad that a lot of people love making new friends, but they talk about them badly with others once they get to know them well. And they mention their shortcomings in front of others, or they tell people about their personal lives. But remember, we're not allowed to hurt them in any way and invading their privacy, okay, or disclosing their secrets before others is a form of hurting them. We have to treat them with utmost kindness, better than they deserve to be treated. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person who makes another person happy. Subhanallah. There are actually people who are so good at doing this. They really know how to cheer up others. Allah really loves those people. And then there are others who just annoy other people, and they just upset others. So we should think about what category of people we belong to. Those who cheer up others, or those who cause distress for others. Do people like to spend time with us, or do they avoid being around us because they don't even want to deal with us? If people avoid being around us, it may be because of our attitude. Instead of blaming them for keeping their distance, we should assess ourselves to figure out if we have any character traits that would actually attract people. If we don't, and we just pick faults in others or just let them down, of course, then those people wouldn't want to be around. Doing these things is not ihsan. It's the exact opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Next on the list is وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ and the travelers. We travel so many times, either by plane or by car. And it doesn't matter if we travel a short distance or a long distance. The people who travel with us on that journey are travelers, just like us. And because of that, we have to do ihsan with them. We have to treat them kindly. We can't think that we're travelers too, so we don't need to do anything. And sometimes there are people who are visiting our country or our city. They are travelers. We should treat them with utmost kindness. We can do things to help them out. Sometimes there are elderly people flying with us on an airplane and they're not able to put their bags up in the baggage compartment. So if we have somebody traveling with us, like a husband or a son or a brother, we can ask them to help that elderly person because the traveler has a right to be helped. Okay, we have to treat them well. It shouldn't matter if we know them or not. It doesn't matter. As Muslims, we are supposed to treat travelers with ihsan. And if there are any women who are having a hard time carrying something or lifting something, and there are men around, the men should help lift whatever it is that they're struggling with. Even if they need help with their child, we should offer help if they're comfortable with it. That is doing utmost good with travelers. But it's so common to see people give other travelers such a hard time. Even when we travel by road, we should keep in mind that we are sharing the road with others. So they are also sahibi bil jamb. Many people act like they own the road when they drive. They don't allow anyone to get in front of them, even if that person's in a hurry. And other people tailgate others to make them drive faster, or they honk at them. Many even start cursing at others. And so many people are killed each year due to road rage. People are just shot because they cut someone off and the other person got upset. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have to treat the traveler with utmost kindness. Give them way or let them go ahead of you. It's no big deal. If someone's standing in line with you, waiting for their turn, let them go ahead if they're in a hurry. Don't get upset and start complaining. When traveling or when driving, we should remember all these rules. We are even allowed to give zakat, the obligatory charity, to the traveler. If that person has lost their belongings and their money, they are even eligible to take zakat from us. If we see someone stressed, we should help them. People do these things when they go for Hajj or Umrah because they know that people are there as the guests of Allah. They are visiting Allah's house, so they care for other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do this even when we travel for other purposes, or even when we go on vacations. We shouldn't make so much noise that we disturb others. We should be considerate of others who are traveling with us. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ and those who your right hands possess. Who do people's right hands possess? It used to be the slaves that people owned, and it also means servants who work for people. And for men, it means their wives because they are in charge of them. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was in his deathbed, the last thing he advised his ummah was, As-salah, wama malakat aymanukum, meaning prayer and whoever your right hands possess. That means anyone who is under you or anyone that you're in charge of. That can be at work, that can be at home, like servants at home or at the office, or it can even be pets that you have at home. They're all ma malakat aymanukum, because even for pets, they rely on you to even feed them. So you cannot neglect them or leave them alone for too long. We have been told to treat all these people that we are in charge of with utmost good. Allahu Akbar. That's how beautiful our deen is. If we were to follow this one ayah, it seems like there is nobody left out from the list. Nobody who we can treat badly. Everyone falls into at least one of the categories we just covered, because people will either be our friends, our relatives, or they will be orphans or needy people or travelers or people that we are in charge of. And if anyone doesn't belong to any of these categories, most people treat them well anyway, because that means that they're not able to treat them badly. Especially if those other people are better off financially or they're in charge of them. Everyone treats them with respect because they can't disrespect them. So Allah advises us in this ayah about the rest of the people who are below us in some way. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever does three things will have an easy death. The one who is gentle with the weaker people, the one who treats his parents with utmost kindness and benevolence towards his slaves and servants." Sometimes people are good when they deal with orphans and the needy, but they're not careful about being good to neighbors, and they argue with fellow travelers, passengers that they're traveling with, and they don't respect their parents. And many people use the excuse of being too far away from their parents, that my parents live far from me. But they should make dua for them at least, even if they live far from them. And they should still stay in touch with them and speak to them nicely. And other people aren't good to their companions because they take them for granted since they see them all the time. And some never get over it if a relative says anything to hurt them. Okay, even if it's one thing that somebody said to them, they just never forget. And we shouldn't repeat what anyone said or did to hurt us. Because when we keep doing that, when we keep repeating what happened, that makes it hard for us to forget or get over what happened. Okay, so avoid repeating the whole story over and over again. And just try to forget, get over it, move on. We have to try our best to apply what we learned in this ayah about treating these people with utmost goodness, no matter how they are towards us. It doesn't matter. Otherwise, we can't expect to be among the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised about servants. When your servant brings you food, you should tell him to sit with you and eat with you. If you can't have him sit with you, at least let him eat a bite or two of it. Be considerate towards them. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Your slaves are your brothers. Allah has put you in charge of them. Whoever is in charge of their brother has to feed him out of their food. Provide clothing for him from their clothes, and not make him do anything that's too difficult for him. And if there's a hard task that you have to assign him to do, stand with him and do it with him." Allahu Akbar. Our deen is so beautiful, but most Muslims don't have these manners and etiquettes anymore. So we have to focus on adopting these characteristics. Others would actually want to learn about Islam if we acted the way we're supposed to, according to Allah's rules. It seems like non-Muslims actually care about their servants more than Muslims nowadays, and they're nicer to their co-workers and people around them, even though Muslims are the ones who have been clearly told to do these things in the Quran, directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَا كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are arrogant and boastful. There's a difference between مُخْتَال and فَخُور. مُخْتَال is assuming greatness, where someone thinks that they're so great. And فَخُر is when people show off, when they pretend to be what they really aren't. Subhanallah. After telling us the things we must do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guides us in this ayah beautifully about what we cannot do, what He does not want us to do. So Allah does not like مُخْتَال and فَخُور people. So we should make sure that we don't boast or act all proud. If we constantly just talk about things we do when we see people, or act like we're so sensible and we're so wise, that's boasting and showing off too. Or if we just talk about our family all the time, our relatives and our home, or our kids or whoever, that means we are being proud. We shouldn't show off and talk like we are just so great. That is what it is to be arrogant and boastful. And if we're arrogant and boastful, we can't do the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do in this ayah that we just learned about. Because the مُخْتَال and فَخُور people just think about themselves all the time. They don't bother finding out about anyone else. And they can't tolerate anything that anyone else does or anything that anyone says. So how can they do ihsan when dealing with people that we just learned about, when they are just so full of themselves? We should think about the things we say when we are around other people, or about how we act when we are nicely dressed up. If we act like we're better than others, or we think that we look better than the others, that is being مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with anyone who acts that way. When we wonder if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, or what our ranks are according to Allah, we should keep in mind that in case we are مُخْتَال or فَخُور, even if we deny it, if we are proud and we like to boast, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَا كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Surely Allah does not love those who are arrogant and boastful. So if we do these two things, Allah does not love us, and we have no value according to Him. If we want His love, we have to humble ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to humble ourselves before Him, and to treat all the people we just learned about from the list with utmost kindness. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka anta sami'ul alim. Wa tubu alayna. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuhu.